That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Yeah, we're here. Just took a second to punch the button. We're coming to you live this Saturday morning, the last Saturday in November of 2014. And a beautiful morning here at the Radio Ranch. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And thank you for getting up and joining us this Saturday after Thanksgiving 2014. And we'll get the phone lines opened up. Maybe just have an open call-in day if the remnant are up and about. Maybe they're still rolling around with too much turkey. I know we had certainly had our fill of it, and abundantly blessed we are to be able to do that. But we'll open up the phone lines in a little bit, 307-745-5913, and see what the remnant's up to this morning. But Jason, would you open us up in prayer first before we get any further?
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we're grateful to be here. And we just ask, Father, for your blessing upon this program this morning. We ask that you guide us and direct us with the words that come out of our mouth. And we just thank you for this opportunity to be here. We thank you for so many blessings that you give us on each and every day that we don't realize, we don't recognize, we don't give thanks for. We pray that we not only found thankful at this time of year, but year-round, Father. And we are grateful and thankful for this time that we can come and spend time with families and loved ones, and we pray that you just continue to work in the hearts and minds of your people across this land, Father, and we pray that you tend to each and every one of their personal needs, and that you see to it that their cup overflows with blessings from your throne, and that you guide them and direct them, give them more strength, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and we pray that you continue to allow us to be a blow to Satan and his kingdom, and a blessing to you and yours. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, a thought occurred to me, Jason, when you prayed that very last part, is the scripture tells us to not grow weary of doing good. And, you know, if we're not out there doing good, who will be? You know, who will be? I don't think anybody will. Anyway, you know, just however that applies to your individual life. So, well, Jason, we got to talk for just a minute before the program. Said you had a good, blessed Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it was a real good time. You know, I mean, nothing, didn't do anything spectacular. It was kind of work part of the day and then took it easy. And it was a relaxing day. I had some family that came over and cooked our turkey and, you know, had a feast that was, you know, fit for a king, and you know, that was grateful. And it was a really good time. Looked at a lot of Thanksgiving scriptures, and, you know, it's good. It's a good day to Thanksgiving because you can talk to a lot of people about Thanksgiving and you know, what we got to be thankful for. And, you know, I keep thinking that, you know, one thing that I noticed when I was talking to people is that, you know, I try to remind them, it's like, you know, we're thankful and we have a lot to be thankful for, but we need to remember those blessings, you know, throughout the remainder of the year, the other, you know, 364 days out of the year. And, you know, I think that, you know, it is a really good time to be able to, you know, share the many blessings that have been bestowed upon us. And, you know, how many blessings that we have on an everyday basis that we take for granted and we don't even think about. I mean, you know, we don't have any idea how many times a day we're blessed. And, you know, we don't even think twice about it. And, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, you were talking about your hot water heater having problems and going out. You know, how many times a year do you stop and think, you know, I'm thankful that I can go over to the faucet and turn the faucet and have hot water.
Amen.
You know, that's one of those things that, you know, a person's not real thankful for until they don't have it. And, I mean, you can apply that to a lot of different things. But, you know, I mean, you think about the transportation. You know, you go out, you hit the key on your car and you start it up, you know, when it's 20, 30 below zero. You turn the heater on, you come back 10 minutes later, it's toasty warm in there, and you drive down the road. You know, it's one of those things, my heater went out this winter when it was 20 below zero. You know what? I realized I hadn't been very thankful for that heater in that truck.
Yes.
And when it's 20 below and you don't have no heat in there, you're really thankful when you get it to work again.
Amen.
And, you know, and not just that. I mean, I'm talking about material things and real life things right now. But, you know, how often do we stop and are thankful for the price that was paid to give us free from our sins, the free from disease? And, you know, I try to reflect this time of year on, you know, the thing that we have the most to be thankful for, and that is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who died for me, you know, who took those blows that were due me. And I think that's important to remember.
Amen. Amen. And Thanksgiving is certainly the time of year to look back and to, especially when we compare what we have now to what the pilgrims did not have when they first came over in the 1619, 1620, 1621, 22, and 23. Those first few years of the true Christian founding of this nation. And, you know, we've shared that with the remnant, the Mayflower Compact, having undertaken for the glory of God and advancement of the Christian faith a voyage to plant the first colony. And that is what America came from, to advance the Christian faith. But we've shared also that of the 41 men that signed that Mayflower Compact, 21 of them died the first winter. That was just the men. Because it might have hit 20 below that first winter like it's already hit here. And they didn't have trucks or heaters in trucks. They didn't have hot water heaters. They didn't even have homes. And it was a tough time. And the next year was a tough year as well. And you're right, Jason. We have so much to be thankful for. We really do. The material things as well as the hope that our Lord and Savior has given us. The blessed assurance that we don't have to walk in darkness anymore. You know, so many of the countless true Israelites from the time of Abraham, or at least from the time of the dispersions and the taking away into captivity because of our sin, the sin of our people. But from then, for so long, so many have been blinded to the true gospel message. And what a blessing, what an unbelievable blessing it is that God has called us out of that and blessed us with, well, eyes that can see some of the things that are going on and ears that can hear the lies that are put out by the so-called churches of the world today. You're right. The blessings are innumerable. They truly are. You know, Psalms 92 starts off saying, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord." And you know, that that says it all right there. It is good to thank Him. And, you know, we encourage you, Remnant, make sure you are thanking Him who gave us everything. What more can you give but your own flesh and blood? What more can you give other than yourself? The Bible says, "Greater love hath no man than he who lays his life down for his brother, for his friend." There is no greater love, and that's the love that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ not only had but lived for us and did for us by laying his own life down, giving of his life to be that ultimate sacrifice so we could live. So, yes, we are abundantly blessed, and we should do continually, as Psalms 92 says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord." Well, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And we too had a good Thanksgiving. We too had a good Thanksgiving here, had a couple of the bachelors from church up, and didn't have quite all our family together. As the families grow up and get a little bigger and start families of their own, they tend to, you know, you have to kind of trade holidays here and there. And so we had some family out of town. So we're going to try another get-together a week from today. I think everybody will be back in off work schedules and travel. And so we're going to try that again. And just to have everybody there. But we had a blessed time. It was a time of, like you said, work a little bit and rest a little bit. Had some good fellowship and good food.
Well, good.
Yeah.
That's good.
But you know, the not all the country is has such peace, I think, even now. Have you heard? I'm still seeing that, they're still having issues in Ferguson and around. Saw in a headline that three large malls in the St. Louis area had to close on the busiest shopping day of the year because of protests. And that they're still having certain riots.
I heard it was crazy over in some of those areas. You hear about what some of this stuff, and you read between the lines, it's pretty obvious they're trying to get a race war started. Talk about a setup deal. We're going to riot either way, whether, you know, it was already determined they were rioting no matter what the outcome of the trial was.
Yeah.
And then they come out and they start rioting. And then the reason for the rioting was because of the grand jury's ruling on the court case.
Which is justice. That's how our justice system is set up. If there's a question that maybe the local, that there's a concern that the local police or court system is not handling it, well, that's why the grand jury system is set up, so that they can get 12 people together and present all the evidence, pro and con, for and against, all that, to these 12 people of supposedly a jury of their peers, in a sense, and that those 12 people and the judge can look at all the evidence and decide if something was done inappropriately, if something was done illegally, according to the laws that we have set up. And, you know, these 12 people, including black and white, male and female, they decided after, hopefully objectively, looking at all the evidence, that, you know, the police officer was, you know, legal at least, in defending himself when this 280-pound black teenager outweighed the cop by 100 pounds. When he's reaching inside the police car, hitting the cop, trying to get his gun, and then, because he just robbed a store, and yeah, he might have been unarmed, but, you know, that's a big man. He might only have been 19 years old, but, you know, almost 300 pounds. This guy was huge. But the grand jury, that's our, right or wrong, that's our just part of our justice system today. And it may be an injustice at times, but you're right. They are just rioting to riot. There is that unseen third party that is instigating all of this.
Yeah, there is. I mean, and it's pretty obvious. I mean, and you know, I have a feeling they started a lot of those people off as those people that started off rioting were paid. And you know, from there it just built. But it's, yeah, the mall shutting down, the unrest everywhere. I mean, basically they want to burn the city out there, and that's what it's come to. And wow, it's something.
Yeah, a couple quotes I saw in a news report. This is from a National Guardsman, and I think it's a female, says, I served my country. I spent 4 years in the Army, and I feel like that's not what I served my country for, said Ebony Tysee. Now, what race do you think Ebony Tysee is? She's 26. She's National Guard of St. Louis. As National Guard trucks and police cruisers roam the street, I served my country for justice for everyone. Not because of what color, what age, what gender, or anything. And, you know, that's the kind of stuff they put in the news reports. You know, Jason, as your children get older, you know, you'll teach them like we've kind of taught some of our older ones, and like our parents taught us. You don't go up and hit a cop. He's wearing a gun. He might shoot you. Now, you might want to, okay? You might, but you know, if you, and we were taught not to steal. So this guy went and stole, oh, it was only cigars. Well, that was so he could do drugs through the little tips. I mean, people know that. They've let us know those type of things. Okay? And so here you have and not just a lawbreaker, but, you know, it's one thing if you break one of man's law and you go about your own business. But when you're strutting it down the street and the policeman comes up to you and catches you, you know, we've all been pulled over by the police. You know, I don't know any of us that just started beating the snot out of the cop. You know, I mean, there has to be a little bit of common sense here, and there's not. Not at all. And you're right, Jason. It's I think they are egging on. They are trying to cause this race war so that they can get their martial law instituted. And you know, have we seen major malls close down on Black Friday before? I mean, I know Black Friday came a little early in Missouri this year, but, on the shopping day of Black Friday, I don't recall.
No, I don't either.
I don't recall major malls.
I mean, I remember having times where it was 30 below zero out here and they were still open.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, you have those malls shut down, but then at the same time, like the malls down here in Colorado, and they were having all these Black Friday specials, and, you know, the Kmart and the Walmart and everybody, and it, was interesting because they had brought in all these barriers for fences for people to line up, and they kind of looked like cattle chutes, the way that they had them set up, up and down, back and forth, rows and everything. Well, they had one guy show up at 4 o'clock, and he waited until 5 when the store opened, and nobody else was there in line, so he went home. And that was one of the stores that was expecting a huge turnout. Another one of these places was they were having, you know, they expected to be have 500 people in line and be sold out of televisions in 20 minutes, and they didn't have anybody show up when they opened at 5 o'clock in the morning. So that that was kind of different out here. They the numbers that were that they expected for Black Friday were way down. I mean, like they've never seen them so low down. It was just that was kind of different. That was kind of crazy, and that just shows you how much times are changing.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe that old whore of Babylon. You know, maybe things just aren't business as usual, the way she wants them to be.
I think. Yeah, and it, I don't know. It's strange because you look at, you know, they're saying, oh, the number of flights were up for Thanksgiving. People were flying all over the place, going to traveling for Thanksgiving. So they say that means that the economy is good. But then you look at what Black Friday, and nobody's shopping. Oh, the economy's bad. So it's just, you know, you got to decipher on what is it good or is it bad or what is it. But I, my personal opinion is there's a lot of people out there that don't have any money.
Yeah, I think that's what a lot of them are. And the ones that do, well, what they're spending their money on is food and shelter and the essentials. Boy, I've sure noticed how the increase in food prices, and they just keep going up. You know, gas finally, the cost of gas has finally dropped down a little bit out here. I remember my brother-in-law was out a month ago and talking about how fuel was $2.88 a gallon in Florida then, and it was still $3.25, $3.30 here.
Wow.
And, you know, just...
That's a big difference.
Yeah, 50 cents a gallon. And just recently, in the last couple of weeks, as the gas, you know, the gas prices started to drop down a little bit. But we understand it's all controlled and manipulated, but... Anyway, yeah, the cost of living, you know, for your basic essentials, is, you know, continues to rise. I sure don't see food prices dropping. I don't see, you know, you do see there seems to be plenty of credit still around, at least for the big ones, the big ticket items. You know, the new Dodge dealer opened up in Laramie this year. And, boy, you sure see more and more new Dodges driving around, and Jeeps. They seem to be certainly wide open with that credit. But I think you're right. I think the actual cold, hard cash that the people have to go buy the big screen TVs again, like they did last year, like they did the year before, and those type things, it seems to have been backed off. We got to town yesterday. I was in town at the hardware store and a couple places running for parts and things like that. And it was just like a normal Saturday morning or Saturday afternoon, it seemed like, in Laramie. Not that we get the big rushes, like the big cities, Fort Collins even, and things like that. But, you know, I'd have to agree with you. They just, it didn't seem like there were the throngs and throngs of people out shopping, trying to get all these good Black Friday deals. Just not at all.
Yeah, that's what I noticed as well. And talked to several people and asked them, you know, the same thing. So did you go out for Black Friday? And nobody did. I mean, you know, it was you know, everybody talks about the good deals and everything, and, you know, the people that I talked to said, well, no, there's nothing we needed. You know, why go spend money when you don't need something? And I think that's a good attitude to have.
I do. I agree with that wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. And, well, what would he say we open up the phone lines? 307-745-5913. This are the phone lines here this first Saturday after Thanksgiving, November 29th. And to me, that's just wild in itself that here November's over. Fixing to be December. But sure are thankful for the good weather we had here. We did have our 24 below a couple weeks ago. And, Jason, I'm glad your trucks were cranking at 24 below because I didn't have any here that wanted to crank. I can tell you that. I had double-treated all the fuel and everything. And, boy, the batteries just did not like that 24 below morning. But
no, they don't.
They don't. And but you know, the cows have to be fed, you know, you got to take care of them. So, but we got through it. But we are sure blessed with beautiful weather now. I know that many parts of the country have gotten snow that need it, and we are to be thankful. You know, when it's 24 below, Kyle and I were talking, and we were saying, "Thank you, Lord." You know, you're killing the flies, killing the, you know, the must need it, because we were getting it. Well, the phone's ringing. Let me get the buttons pushed. And good morning, caller. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard. It's old Robbie from Texas. How are you guys today?
Hey, doing good, Robbie. Good to hear from you.
Great. I'm over in South Carolina for about, well, working on small airplanes. Hey, I got a concept I want to run by y'all and see what people think about it. Let's consider putting the government of this country back on the shoulders of Christ where the Bible says it ought to be. Let's pick out a couple of acres of diamond men and announce to the world that we're going to run them for president, and they're going to run the United States of America by the word of God, and see what happens. Let's present it to God that we are your people. We want to put some of your people in charge, and let's see what God does with this.
Well, that's a pretty interesting concept.
That's my thought anyhow. See what you guys think about it.
You know, I remember, Jason, maybe it was you that mentioned when we were having all these elections this year that you know, the people ran on so many different platforms. Oh, I'm pro-fracking. This other guy's anti-fracking. I'm this guy. You didn't even hear pro-life or pro-abortion and anti-abortion this year. But nobody came out that I recall. And, Jason, again, I think you had mentioned it. Nobody came up.
I'll run on the principles of the Bible, you know,
nope.
Christian faith,
right.
Our Heavenly Father. I mean, have you ever heard... You ever heard anybody say, basically, I'm going to run on these principles. I'm going to run on, I am a Christian, and we need to run things in a Christian manner. We're going to obey the Bible. We're going to go back to the foundations that our forefathers intended on. You never hear that.
No. And it's... I think
let's see about doing it. Let's get some guys who will say we're going to do this, and it doesn't matter what the world says or the voters say. Let's see if God will elect two Israelite Christian men of his own to lead his people in his nation and present it and see what God does with it for us. I don't care about the votes. I want to know what God's going to say to us. Well, that's my comment this morning, guys. Yeah. You're coming in great on the shortwave here in South Carolina. God bless you, and I'll see you when I can.
All right, Bobby. Thank you. God bless.
All right, God bless.
Bye-bye.
Interesting
you know,
concept.
That I did read, and I did post up there on the Newswire that I wanted to get to before we moved away from the Ferguson deal was, did you see that the global jihadists were tweeting to the protesters of Ferguson and basically recruiting them, trying to recruit them?
I didn't see that. I didn't get any tweets.
Their Twitter account, they came out and started tweeting it, and it was a call to African Americans and others in the United States to join their cause, and they put a call out, especially to the protesters, basically urging them, saying that you know we got to get rid of this tyranny, and you got to change sides, and you need to join up with us because. We need more people like you, and you need more people like us. And basically putting a call out to convert to Islam and to become one of them jihadists.
That's I try not to use the term unbelievable anymore, but that's about as close as it comes. And you know, many will probably do that. We've already seen that happening. You know, the beheadings in Oklahoma, other Islamic beheadings across the country. You know, we have the Islam doctor, whatever his name was, that shot up, what was it, Fort Hood, not too long ago, and killed all the troops there, shouting Allah Akbar. And that's called, you know, the media presents that as workplace violence and not a, what do they call their holy
war?
Not
a hate crime.
Yeah, not a hate crime. Not a jihad. And so, you know, there again, that there is something to be thankful for in that God is called, as his word says, the weak and the foolish of this world. And he uses the weak and the foolish to confound the wise of the world. And when you have the eyes to see some of the truth that's out there, regardless of the media lies, regardless of what the president puts out, regardless, you know, everybody else may be thinking that, oh, well, let's just workplace violence. But that's not what it is. And, you know, you need to be ready. But you need to have the eyes to see. You need to have the ears to hear. And, you know, people should know this ministry firmly believes that you get those in baptism. You get those in, yeah, you do have to believe, but that's a beginning and not an end. And you have to read the word and understand the word, and you have to repent. Repent of the sin that we're born into, and repent of sins known and unknown, and be baptized, full immersion in water, for the remission of sins, for the forgiveness of sins. And then you get the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that helps give you eyes to see and helps give you ears to hear so that you can see what's going on around you. You know, Jason, you don't wear glasses, do you? You have real good just natural vision, right? You can read real good, and you don't wear glasses. You know, I got glasses in seventh grade, I think. Got where I was squinting at the back blackboard and couldn't read the letters up there. And of course, the teacher talks to my mom, and we get to the eye doctor, and so I got glasses. And you know, that helped me out quite a bit, because it's really tough if you can't see what's going on. It's really hard, and so I've been in glasses and contacts since then. And you know, I think that it's just part of the, you know, should we have to wear glasses? No. I think it's part of the collateral damage of the fallen world we live in, but that's how it is. And you know, if you can't see what's going on, whether it's trying to read or see the teacher's instructions on the board or see the stop sign when you're driving, it makes for a pretty tough life. You need to be able to see. And that's just in the physical, but it's that way in the spiritual as well. There are so many signs around us. Ferguson, I think, is one of the signs, you know, of the world, at least our part of the world, yelling peace, peace. And let me tell you, there ain't no peace in Ferguson. There's not any peace in Detroit. There's not any peace in these other countries or in these other big cities where they're having and have had these riots. There are signs all around us. Well, let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, good morning, fellas. This is Willis over in Southern Illinois. How are you all this morning?
We're doing good, Willis.
And how are you doing, Willis?
How are things in Southern Illinois there? You guys aren't that far away from some of the unrest.
Well, thank God we're just far enough.
Amen.
And I just wanted to make a couple of quick comments, and that is, I am so thankful that God decided to work in the hearts and the minds and the lives of a lot of my family and call us out of this world. I don't know why he did, but I am so thankful that he laid down his life to save a wretch like me, undeserving as I might have been. And also, I wanted to thank those on the prayer line for offering up prayers for George there Thursday morning, who for some reason or another ended up with some severe cramping stomach problems, and went over and anointed him and prayed, and had a quick and miraculous recovery.
Praise the Lord for that.
Amen. And, you know, I was listening to Jason's show last night, and he talked a little bit about the decline of the Caucasian population in the public schools. And a thought occurred to me, granted that some of these third worlders are increasing in numbers, but I believe that a little bit of that decline of the white Christians in the public schools may have some small amount to do with those that have decided to pull their children out of public schools and teach them at home and put them in Christian schools. And all I can say is praise God for that.
Amen.
I did, Willis, see a news report earlier this week on the massive increase in homeschooling. And it presented itself, that news report, as being anti-Common Core, people that didn't like the Common Core, and so they were, you know, they were pulling their children out. But I saw another note, and it showed a classroom in Ireland, elementary school, I think it was fifth grade, and there were like 18 kids in the class. There was one white girl, and one Caucasian out of the 18 in Ireland. And that is their desire here.
Yep, absolutely.
To do that very thing. And so, yeah, I'm a strong advocate of homeschooling. If your children are in public school, don't let them go back Monday. Just pull them out. They'll... You know what they'll do. They'll cry and they'll whine and all that. I can remember growing up and hearing, growing up in the ministry anyway, in the 20 plus years we've been on this, growing up in Christ, I guess would be the term, but hearing the pastor talk about, his children, you know, and it's that way when you have children. You know, ask yourself, Remit, do your women and children rule over you? Do they? Do you let your child go to public school because they want to?
Yeah.
And you need to think about that, because they're cheerleaders or they're on the sports team or whatever. And it may be great and fine and good now, but what about their character? What about their eternal life? You know, people talk about putting that good apple in with all the rotten to try to convert all the rotten apples, and it doesn't happen that way.
That's right. That rotten just spreads.
That rotten
spreads.
And,
you know, if people want to see a profound difference to any of their children that may be going to public schools, pull them out and teach them at home and note the difference in the attitude and the way those children act over a 2 or 3 month period.
Yeah.
And give them a year, they'll be 100% totally different children.
Yep. Now, it's not easy. You know, it's not easy. There's no doubt about it. But I don't remember God ever putting in his Bible that it'd be easy.
Nope, we're supposed to work.
Yeah, but it's worth the investment.
Absolutely. Well, I just wanted to make a few quick comments and let you guys know I appreciate you giving up part of your weekend morning to come out here and fellowship with all of us folks scattered about. And you have a blessed weekend.
Well, thank you.
I'm very thankful for the time you guys are willing to devote to the ministry.
Well, thank you,
praise
Willis.
God for it.
Thank you, Willis. God bless.
Same to you. Goodbye, brothers.
All right. You know, I can tell you we're thankful to be here. We are. And we're thankful for the remnant out there. You know, the masses are never going to change. The masses aren't going to turn. but the remnant does. The remnant hears the word, just like his sheep hears voice. And praise the Lord for the remnant. Amen. Well, we've still got time left. This coffee with the Wranglers this Saturday morning, the 29th. Phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. Now, you may hear this broadcast later. We'll replay it a little bit later. And then also on Monday evening on a different shortwave frequency. But we are live this morning and have the phone lines open for just a little bit. And Jason, I'd have to agree with you what Willis said. It seems like not just that there's not as many Caucasian children out there, but just not as many Caucasian people. Is it just me, or is it really like that out there?
No, I think it's really like that out there. I'm sure it's worse in some areas than in others, but it's happening.
I mean, you know, Wyoming is supposed to be 94% white, and when I go out, 94% of the people I see aren't white.
No, exactly, especially in, you know, in Cheyenne and Laramie areas, and, you know, then they try to move in, you know, whole villages of Somalian refugees. I mean,
and
you know, it's...
they're doing that.
They're trying to dilute it, that's for sure.
Amen. Well, we can go back and read Deuteronomy 28 and read about it. It just explains it to us. Again, if you have the eyes to see it, that's what it is. It's physical warfare that has stemmed from spiritual warfare. But it is war. And any time I think of that, I think of when the pastor would tell of he had a teacher growing up that was at Pearl Harbor. I think that's what it was. And when the Japanese planes started bombing the ships, and the ships are blowing up, and bombs are going off, and people are dying. He saw the one guy running down, and with his hands up, war, 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 just yelling. And you know, the pastor did that for 30 years to try to awaken the sheep, to awaken the remnant, that this is war, and we're living it, we're absolutely living it.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different fronts on the war, too. And that's the thing, yes. Is, you know, we talk about, we've just basically touched on just a very, very few minute of them today. I mean, you know, you think about this Mexican invasion from the south border of Mexico is still raging like crazy.
Yes.
You know, and, you know, but nobody's talking about, well, because there's a new kid on the block, and that new kid on the block is the Ferguson. Know, riots and what's taking place there, but they're still coming over by the thousands every day in Mexico. You know, and that's one of the wars that we're fighting, or one of the battles that we're fighting in this war. You know, the doctor that was over there that pleaded guilty to said, "Well, yeah, I knew that these procedures were unnecessary and not needed, but you know, we did it for financial gain." And they were diagnosing people with cancer, and saying that they had cancer when they didn't. They were treating them with chemotherapy, basically for money. And I think more than, you know, the money was what they admitted to. They were going after it for money, but I think that they were those ones that get the glee and the joy out of causing suffering. And, you know, I'm talking about that alien race that's among us, you know, which so many have graduated to that. They go towards that medical field and that medical profession and, you know, that position of authority. And, you know, here's one that gets caught, but I believe that that's what this whole, you know, American Medical Association is. And that... you know, and then we talk about the jihadists that they're coming in here like crazy. You know, with the government and the Lutherans, and
yeah, the churches are.
I mean, you look at the cities that they're trying to.
They promote it.
They're not trying to, but they're bringing them into.
Yes.
like we were talking about, they're white communities. Little towns in Wyoming, Nebraska, Iowa, Washington State.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, they did it in South Carolina when I was there. They brought a whole, literally what they're doing here in Cheyenne, brought a whole community, over 100 of these Somalians in that didn't understand running water, didn't understand indoor plumbing. Well, we got a caller. Let's take a break here for a minute. We'll take this caller. Good morning, caller. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
You were talking about the school in Ireland. I lived in Ireland about 25 years ago, and you would not, I don't think I saw a black face unless it was on television, you know. And I lived in Dublin, you know, the capital. And I remember when I first got there, there was an American there at Chicago going, came up to me and said, there's an unofficial Keep Ireland White policy. And this, I see this stuff going on. And what happened was they let the banks get in there and boom, they come in. Of course, they, you know, when I lived there, they did not recognize the occupation of Palestine by that state that calls itself Israel. And now they not only recognize Israel and they have all the, they got the banks in there and they have the, you know, the, all kinds of ethnic people. And there's a guy named Alan Shatter in the Catholic country of Ireland. He's like a big-time, he basically runs the government over there, a Jew named Alan Shatter. But here's a funny little story. I saw about 10 or 12 years ago, I was listening to the BBC, and they were interviewing a black guy, and he was the first black mayor in Ireland. And he was telling the story when he was in Dublin, he was walking down the street, you know, and he felt he wasn't very welcome and this sort of thing. And he'd ask, well, people, where should I go? And they would all tell him, I sure... Port Leash should be a place for you, you know, Port Leash. So he went to Port Leash, and the people adopted him and elected him mayor. But funny thing was, Port Leash was the prison was for the major prison for the country. It'd be like, you know, in this country telling them, oh, sure, go to Leavenworth or something like that. And then he gets to be elected mayor of Leavenworth. So I thought that was pretty. Yeah, they've ruined that country. They're ruining every country they can find, you know, it's twice. Yep. Got to be ruined.
It's war, and it's, you know, I dare say we're almost to the point that Europe has fallen. You know, Europe has fallen to this war because Ireland's not the only country like that. Most of the European nations are that way.
Yeah, it destroyed Sweden.
Yes.
All right, I just want to have that, had that comment about Ireland. So.
Yeah, well, I appreciate the call.
Thank you.
All right, thanks.
And got another caller here. Oh, caller, you just have to call back, 307-745-5913. And still got to have about 10 minutes this morning. Wow, in 25 years, from no blacks to the majority, or blacks, or high yellows, or browns, or, you know, whatever it is, in basically a generation, how that's changed there. Let's try this caller again. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning. Hey, I noticed. Am I on the air?
Yes, sir. Good morning.
I noticed. Good morning. I noticed one of the marchers in the crowd had a sign that said "End White Supremacy." Do any of you guys feel like we're under white supremacy?
No.
Could we be any further from that?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is, Russell. It's, but you know the. There's an old saying that the Jew cries out as he strikes you. And I'll just throw it right out there because that's exactly what it is. You know, when you're dealing with this demonic activity or demonic influenced activity, you know, you're always accused, and that's a modus operandi, a modus of our enemy. They always accuse you of what they are. They call us haters. No, we're not haters. We tell people what sin is because we love them and we want them to repent because that's what our Lord and Savior tells us to do. And they accuse us. They say end white supremacy. Well, it's not white supremacy. It's like I said earlier. You know, the women and children in this country rule over. You know,
well,
rule over the people.
Well, couldn't the sign just as easily have said end rule and order?
Yeah. and because, rule and order.
I mean, what we're witnessing there is the fruit of public school. I mean, look, didn't Johnson promise us a perfect society back in 67 if we just give them more money? And there's poverty. What a sham. What a joke. What an exposure. It's kind of like Tony Romo being exposed for his ineptness. Look at the political system. It's being exposed now. These are public school kids out there riding, and I firmly believe that it's all being funded. I mean, think about it. Can you go out and spend the night in the street and march without eating?
Oh, no. And did you see the, you know, Russell, you're a printer. Did you see the shirts? I mean, everybody in every protest thing I've seen since this happened in August, the next day they've all got shirts. I mean, printed up, nice, big, quality color shirts and, you know, and signs. And that stuff isn't cheap. You're absolutely right. It's being financed.
This hate.
Yes.
And I believe if we could just try to cut back on our sin, maybe it would have a positive effect on this pond scum. And so I'm happy to announce today that I think I'm 3 years sober from going into a movie theater. And
I'm right there with you.
I have seen some movies, but not very many. I mean, I haven't gone to a movie theater, but now they put them on TV. But I mean, just think if you could quit supporting Hollywood, what a major impact that would have on these people, this sin, I guess, the leader of the world. He has to have us sinning. And if the only way to cut his head off is just keep striving to be righteous.
Amen.
That's the solution. And it is a booger to do, but through Jesus Christ, I believe it can be done. That's my hope.
Amen.
And,
you know, even back...
You.
Sure, Russell, even back in...
Appreciate the time.
Even back in Hosea, you know, he says, Hosea 6, "What shall I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? Your loyalty is like a morning cloud and like the dew which goes away early. It just is gone." In verse 6 he says, "For I delight in loyalty rather than sacrifice." And loyalty is referenced back as loving kindness. And he says, "I delight in the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." And the knowledge of God is, for as Christ told so many, "Now go and sin not. Go and sin no more."
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. That's the reason that we have all the lawlessness in the land. All the death and destruction is because of the sin of his people. Absolutely.
I think so. So pray for testosterone and God's people and courage. Courage to not sin. I know it's a fight and a battle, but thanks for letting me air my opinion.
All right, Russell. Thanks for calling.
You have a good day. Okay, bye.
You too. Well, you know, we can pray that right now. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord, as your soldiers, as the Gideon soldiers, Lord. Those that have armored up, but Lord, even before that, Lord, those that we've been baptized, Lord. We have ask for forgiveness, and we have been forgiven of our sin, Lord. And we know so many of the remnant out there have. And Lord, we thank you for them. And we do come, as you say, boldly before your throne, Lord, but on bended knee and humbly before you. And Lord, we do pray for the remnant. We pray for a moving of the Holy Spirit, Lord, across this land, for those that haven't repented and been baptized, Lord, that you would call them, that you would call them out of the darkness, Lord. And that you would call them to repentance. And Lord, and call them to that watery grave of baptism. That if they will share in the glory of your death, Lord, they get to share in the glory of your resurrection. And Lord, we do pray for an extra dose of testosterone, like Russell said, Father, on all of your men. Lord, The women and children will not rule over us, but you will, Lord. We claim you, Jesus Christ, as head, as king, as Lord of lords, and King of kings. And we look to you for our health, for our safety, for our welfare. We look to you, the rock, the fortress. And it's in you that we know we have protection. And it's in you that we know we have deliverance. And so, Lord, let the nations be in an uproar. Let them riot in the streets. Let them proclaim peace, peace, when we see that there is no peace in the land, Lord. But we will stand on you and your word. And, Lord, let your word be shouted out from the housetops. And let the light that you have given to your people, Lord, let it shine bright and push away the darkness that is ever encroaching on this land. As for me and my house, Lord, and I know the remnant out there shares in this sentiment, we will serve you. We will do our best, as Russell said, to turn from sinning, to see what is, if there is sin in our lives, Lord, and we rebuke it and we cast it away. Lord, as we do when we come to communion tomorrow, we say, forgive us, Lord. Forgive us. Help us to do better. Strengthen us. Encourage all of us, Lord, that call you King. We need that full armor. Lord, we know the spells are breaking. More and more people are waking up and seeing the lies that are in the land. And more importantly, Lord, more and more seeing you and the need to follow you and obey you. We thank you for it, Lord. Guide and direct us and keep us on your straight and narrow, that, Lord, we may wield that sword of the Spirit, and that it is your word, Lord, that slays the enemy. Help us to wield that properly, Lord, to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, Remnant, join us for church tomorrow. We're out of time this morning at Coffee with the Wranglers. We thank you for the phone calls. Thank you, Remnant, for joining us. And join us for church tomorrow morning, Sunday morning, at 10 a.m. Mountain Time, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast at scriptures4america.org. You can tune in there and have fellowship, have spiritual teaching, biblical teaching, partake of communion, and it'll be a good time. Jason, thanks a lot. Have a blessed day, and we'll see you at church tomorrow.
All right.
Thank you. Later.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever, God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, stay high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more,
stay high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out.
Snake-eyed.
Move it, move it, move it, though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, barking will be waiting at the end of our ride.